produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, hello to all the listeners. It's my pleasure to be sending you greetings. Warm greetings from South Africa. It's pretty warm over here. I know it's a little bit cold over there, but it's a privilege and a pleasure to be able to share with you today. And today I wanted to share on the subject matter of relationships. If you're out there, I want you to say the word relationships with me. So relationships are very important to us. God never meant for us to live isolated lives, but he has given us destiny helpers, and he has created us as people who must relate with one another. And one of the things that will make us win is when we come together in unity, come together as a team, whether it's in ministry, whether it's as a family, however it is. But unity is a powerful weapon to ensure victory on our behalf. And one of the things that I've seen in this season is that relationships are being very, very negatively impacted. As a pastor, and I'm sure there's so many pastors out there, men and women of God, who are experiencing the same thing. Relationships are under a great attack in this season. I don't think in my few 35 years of ministry, I can ever say that I've had to do as much counseling as I have had to do in this season. People are coming out and, just offending one another, attacking one another. There's a great deal of hostility out there. There's a great deal of anger. There's a great deal of emotionalism and a lot of hatred out there. And it is impacting on relationships, on marital relationships, on friendships, on relationships within the body of Christ. And so today, I really wanted to talk about relationships and talk about how are we supposed to act and how are we to handle the attack that is on relationships in this season. One of the scriptures I love the most is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 32, and it talks about the sons of Issachar and the fact that they knew the season, and not only did they know the season, but they knew how to respond. They had a strategy for responding. So they knew the season, and they knew what strategy to employ or to deploy. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in this season and why it's happening and how to respond in this season to protect our relationships and to make sure that we fulfill our purpose and mandate in God. Because there's no way that we will fulfill purpose as a single, isolated human being. We need one another, we need each other, and God has ordained relationships. The first thing I wanted to talk about is coming from the scripture, John 10:10. And this sets out not only the mandate of the devil, but it sets out the mandate of Jesus. And we know that this scripture tells us that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, in complete direct opposite, in the same scripture, John 10:10, we learn that the devil has a mandate as well. And his mandate is to steal, his mandate is to kill, and his mandate is to destroy. And so we need to first and foremost understand that this is his job description, it's his mandate, to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways that he will effectively be able to fulfill his own mandate is through stealing, killing, and damaging relationships. So he's disrupting the unity of families. He's disrupting unity in ministries, within the church environment. And as he does that within the work environment, the more he can disrupt that unity by bringing suspicion, bringing deception, the more he can do that, the easier it makes his own job. So he really is going all out to steal relationships, to kill them, to destroy relationships. I believe that some of you out there may have probably, you know, broken relationships. There's some relationships out there that that you feel, you know, maybe the enemy has come in between just to now start destroying and stealing it and just really impacting negatively. Well, we're going to pray for relationships at this end. And any relationship that God has ordained, we're going to pray that God will bring it back together. Amen. Also, I wanted us to know that one of the things, as we were saying, the enemy uses relationships. He's destroying, attacking relationships as never before, sending out arrows out there to make sure that the unity in the families and within the body of Christ is destroyed, so that it will be so much more challenging for us to fulfill the mandate of the body of Christ. Now, we know that God tells us that we don't use the weapons of the world to fight. In fact, we are told that we have been given weapons that will pull down every stronghold of human reasoning and destroy every false argument. One of the greatest weapons that the enemy is using, the devil is using in this season, is the weapon of deception and false accusation. Concerning deception, we know that the devil himself is surrounded by deception. That is his modus operandi, his main way of operating. If you read scripture, it tells us that he walks around and walks about as a roaring lion. He's not really a lion, but he uses deception to create the impression that he is a roaring lion. And he will always try to counterfeit the image of Christ. We know that Christ is the real lion. He's described as the Lion of Judah. So the best that the devil can do is to counterfeit the image of Christ. He's not a lion, but he tries to be like a lion. He tries to enlarge himself, his appearance, his power, his capacity, and make it look like he's a lion when he's not. So he's very deceptive in that. He also tries to disguise himself as an angel of light. We know that he's no longer an angel. He was previously an angel, but now he represents the kingdom of darkness. But he now tries to deceive many of us by manifesting himself as an angel of light. So deception is part of who the devil is. It goes to his very core. It's his modus operandi. And as believers, we need to understand this, that he will be bringing every level of deception to try to confuse us, to try to derail us, to try to deny us, to try to do all sorts of things, take us out of mandate. And in John 8:44, again, if you read that scripture, it tells us that there is no truth in him. There's no truth in the devil. And it says that when he's lying, in fact, lies are his original language. That's what comes naturally to him. Most of us would have a mother tongue, and I would like to actually put it out there that lying is the mother tongue of the devil. And it, even that scripture describes him as a liar and the father of lies. So he is the originator of all lies. So I think we're now getting a little picture about who the devil is. He is deception himself, and he uses lies as a way of deceiving us, deceiving people in the world, deceiving members of the body of Christ even. And he uses also false accusation is another key weapon that he uses to try to derail and confuse us and take us out of our key mandate. We also learn that the devil is an accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10 describes him as the accuser of our brothers and sisters, and he accuses us day and night. That is his mandate. Every time you and I wake up, we need to understand this. As we wake up, He is looking for an opportunity. He is looking for some reason to be able to accuse us falsely. When we understand this, it's easier for us to respond unemotionally. And the challenge that many of us are having is that when we receive false accusation or when we're confronted with false accusation, we immediately want to respond emotionally. So we don't need to respond emotionally, respond spiritually. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds of every false argument that is raised against you. You don't respond by throwing stones. When the men that David was with, King David was with his men, wanted to stone him, he didn't respond by picking up stones and stoning them back. But it says that after a little bit of a moment of crying, he encouraged himself in the Lord. So what we need to do is not to respond in the same manner. I think we're getting a little bit of a picture around the season, what is happening. I believe in many nations, God is beginning to bring revival in many nations. I know in the southern Africa. And so the question arises to say, what do we do in this time, in this season, where the enemy is attacking relationships, he's attacking marriages, he's attacking relationships between parents and children, he's attacking relationships at work, he's attacking relationships in the body of Christ. You see that churches and assemblies are struggling to flow and to survive because there's so much false accusation, there's so many arguments, there's suspicion, people are suspicious of one another. There's a whole range of things that are happening. I'm having to counsel people regularly, even pastors and ministers of the gospel, where there's lack of trust, suspicion, and all this because the enemy is throwing out deception and false accusation, lies, the lying spirit is out there. What do we do when we face this? The first thing I want us to know is that we must be aware of it. We must know that this is what's happening. And it's happening because in many nations, revival is about to break forth. And the enemy knows that one way of trying to delay or derail revival is to disturb the unity, because it was an act. And when they were in the upper room, that they were in one place, in one accord, in one language, waiting upon God. Unity is what draws the power and presence of God. Even in Psalms 133, it talks about unity and says that is where he not only commands the blessing, but where he releases his anointing. And so by disrupting that unity, the enemy knows that this is one way of ensuring that revival is either delayed or deterred. But in Jesus' name, we declare that we will be united as the body of Christ. Relationships will be restored. Relationships will be revived. Relationships will be resurrected in the name of Jesus. And so I just want to share again with you to say, what do you do if you're in a family situation and you see that the relationship is being shaken and has been disturbed and the enemy has brought all that he can to kill that relationship? First thing I want to say to you is don't react. You must respond. Do not react. And by reacting, I'm saying don't react in an emotional way. Don't allow your flesh to react. If somebody accuses you of something, if somebody is suspicious of you, or if somebody is provoking you, do not react in the flesh, but respond in the spirit. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the spirit must be in us. And so the fruit that is described there in Galatians 5:22 and 23 talks about the need for us to have love, to have joy, to have peace. To have self-control is one of the very, very important fruit of the Spirit that we must inculcate in this season. So ask God to help give you self-control, kindness, peace, all of those things. Meditate on His Word day and night. As you read His Word first thing in the morning, that Word, and speak that Word, and speak Galatians 5:22-23 in you and confess it. That will begin to build the fruit in you. And as you begin to pray and worship God, the presence of God, staying in the presence of God, is what will ensure that the Spirit of God is built up in us And when you have the Spirit of God, you will manifest the fruit of the Spirit as well. So point number one, do not react, respond. Point number two, I want to encourage us to cross-check facts. I went to law school. I'm a trained lawyer, and, you know, we like facts. So please don't believe everything that you're told. Don't rush to believe everything that you've been told. Some things are factually incorrect, or some things may be factually correct but taken out of context. So cross-check facts, and also still be alert, be vigilant in the spiritual realm. Third thing we need to do is respond in prayer. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, we are instructed to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So remain prayerful, and as you remain prayerful, you will be able to rejoice always, and you will also be able to give thanks. It's prayer that will enable us to be joyful, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we are joyful, we get strength as well. And the fourth thing I would like to ask us to do, as we said, don't react. And so the last point I want to make in terms of how do we respond in this hostile environment is to say that pray as you pray, also ask Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. One of the key characteristics of Holy Spirit, he is a truth revealer. So as the enemy tries to bring in deception in your life, in your family, in your relationships, as he tries to falsely accuse you or any members of your family, pray and ask Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. He is the truth himself, and he's faithful to open up the eyes of our understanding to the truth. And so as we close out this session, I want to thank you, all you listeners, for listening to this girl all the way from South Africa. God bless you, and I just want to close out by praying and just saying, Father, we thank you for every relationship. And every relationship that has been ordained by you, Father, we thank you that no weapon that is formed or fashioned against any relationship consecrated and ordained by you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We submit every relationship before you and thank you that you protect it. Thank you for covenant relationships. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that speaks better things, even on behalf of those relationships in the name of Jesus. We thank you for protection. Psalms 91, protection, we speak that protection over every relationship. Thank you for the shalom, peace, and wellness, Father, of who you are, to be released in families, in work relationships, in the body of Christ. And we thank you for shalom, peace. We walk in peace, we move in peace, we talk in peace, we work in peace, we worship in peace. And we thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. We bless you and give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikoto Ministries Radio Network, this is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo. Let's hear what God has said for us as we embark together. Empowered for destiny.
He sends his disciples to go to the other side where he's going to meet with them. Verse 23. You're reading, my sister, you're reading very well. You can continue verse 23 for me.
After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone.
Okay. I wanted to say that I told Ethan I wanted us to discuss this together. When he had sent the multitudes away, time alone with God, right? When he's alone with God, he goes up on the mountain by himself to what?
To pray.
Come talk to me. To what?
Pray.
It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. Verse 23. He was alone to what?
To pray.
When he is alone on the mountain to pray. So he teaches us the principle of separation. Somebody shout, principle of separation. Oh, in the world we're living in today, in the world we are living in today, you and I need to learn the principle of separating yourself alone with God. There are times you are with friends, you are with the church, you are with the people, but spending time alone with God brings clarity to your life. When he sends them away, the Bible says he remains alone on the mountain praying. So at least now we see Jesus is praying twice, because we saw he prayed before the miracle was produced. You're with me? Now we see that he also prays after the miracle is produced. Let's talk. Because many of us, we are good at praying before. If you were told right now here by the doctor and the news come forth that, you know, you have got a tumor on your breast, or you've got something's happened in your life, or you've got cancer, some part of your body, I can tell you, I've seen Christians pray. I've seen Christians pray, even those who say, oh no, prayer is just not my thing, until they were told there is a problem. Here's my point. Many of us are good at praying before, but we are not good at praying after. Jesus prayed for the miracle of the loaves that were provided. And after the miracle, you are expecting Jesus to be tired, because 4,000 has just been fed. You see, Jesus does what we fail to do. When we are confronted with a problem, we cry, we fast, we pray, we dance, we jump, we cry again, we text one another, WhatsApp, Twitter, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Everyone, we want prayer everywhere, because there is a mountain of a problem in front of us. But once that problem is cleared, we don't pray. So what are we learning? We are learning the principle of balance. I don't just pray because there is a problem, but I learn to pray to keep fellowship with my Father, even Amen. After the problem.
Daddy, am I talking to somebody? Fellowship with the Father.
You are with me?
Amen.
In other words, we learn the principle of understanding that in our journey of walking with God, prayer is not just a fix that I use because Amen. I was after a job.
Yeah.
I was going for an interview. Or because I was after a boss that was mean to me, and therefore I'm praying that God do something, transfer him somewhere or do something. Yeah. But you see, I learned the principle of prayer because it's an engagement and a fellowship with God.
Amen.
Yes. Jesus prayed before. Jesus prayed after. Jesus teaches us the principle of solitude, spending time alone with his Father. And as he continues to pray alone with his Father, the Bible says in verse 24, my sister, you are reading for me. What does it say? Verse 24.
And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it.
All right. I was reading that and I was thinking, this is a very interesting trip. What do you do when God sends you? He's sending you to go, and he doesn't come along with you. Jesus sends the disciples to go to the other side, but he doesn't get into the boat. What principle I want us to bring? Can you still obey him even when you don't feel his presence?
Amen. Yes.
Can you obey God even though you don't feel him? Because many of us, we love God as long as he's providing us with everything that we want. I got my visa. I'm now a citizen. Oh, praise the Lord. tomorrow. I'm going to church. And I'm going to be there at 8 o'clock. I know it starts at 10. I'll be there at 8 o'clock. Woo! Miracle. Many of us love and feel the presence of God when He's there, when we sense His power. But can you walk with Him when it seems like your prayers are ending somewhere in the ceiling? Can you hold on to His word? His word is, I will never leave you.
Amen.
I will never forsake you.
Yes.
Can you trust His word when His very presence is not there? Because when you learn to walk with God, when you don't see Him, when you don't feel Him, then that's maturity.
Amen.
I don't love you, God, just because I can feel you.
Amen.
I don't love you, God, just because I can sense you.
Amen.
I love you even in the darkest hour.
Amen.
I love you even though I've got cancer in my body.
Amen.
I love you even though I got negative report from the doctors. I love you even though my marriage is breaking up. I love you even when things are not going on well. I've got problems with my son, problems with my daughter, but Lord, you are still good.
Amen. Yes.
When you reach that place in your walk with God, that I don't love God just because of what He gives me.
Yeah.
I love Him for who He is.
Amen.
Is He Lord when things are crumbling down around you? Is He Lord when your car has been involved in an accident? Is He still Lord when things are going one way? I hear a lot of questions that come forth from Christians in such times like this. If God is alive, why do you allow this virus to spread everywhere? And I said, He's still God.
Amen.
He's still God. And guess what? He controls everything. I want to talk to your heart so that you can understand that walking with God, ladies and gentlemen, is not only in good times, but walking in God involves even in the times when it seems as if I'm going down through the valley, when I go through difficulties and I don't seem to be seeing my way out, and since everything seems to be foggy along my way, and I can still hold on the power and the authority of His word, because God is bigger than your problems.
Amen.
God is bigger than your valleys.
Amen.
God is bigger than your situations.
Amen.
And God is bigger than your darkness around you. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Jesus teaches me the principle in Matthew chapter 14, that I need to hold on to Him, and I need to hold on to His word, even in times when I don't sense Him, even though I don't feel Him, even though there seems to be nothing that is happening around me. I need always to know that how do I manage the journey that He has called me to go forth. Some of us here, I don't know your vision in the GMU here, and I don't know what you stand for and where God is calling you to, but I just want to encourage you that there are projects, I believe, Brother James, that God is going to ask you to do as part of the GMU. There are missions that need to be done, to be embarked on. But sometimes when you look in what you have in your pockets, the money doesn't match the vision that God has given you. Am I talking to somebody? Sometimes you look at yourself and you wonder, if God says He's with us, why there's no provision, why we don't see the breakthroughs that He is giving to us. Welcome those that are coming in. But I want us to see what's happened here in this story in Matthew chapter 14, that the Bible says, the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. There is something there that I wanted to catch in that verse. I wanted to catch is, oftentimes when God says go, He's guaranteeing you will meet Him there. You may not see, feel, sense Him on the journey. Like many of you where you are right now, maybe you're caught up somewhere in the middle. Where you say, Josh, when I pray to God in these days, it seems that my prayers are zero. It's like when I pray right now, I don't feel His presence like I used to do in November last year. I don't feel His presence. I'm here to say to you, it's not in your feelings.
Amen.
Do you hear what I say?
Yes.
It's not in your feelings, because your feelings vacillate.
Yes.
You see, your feelings change.
Yes.
The feelings will change on you. Today you feel it, and tomorrow you don't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, when you know God, from your spirit, you know that I don't have to feel him. I don't have to see him. The singer of the song that we sing normally in our worship songs is, even though I don't feel him. What does it say in Hungarian?
Even though I don't feel him, I know he's still working.
I know he's still working. Even though I don't feel him, I know he's still working. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage us today, therefore, in this discourse, that we understand how God works in our lives. God works in our lives in that undertaking what Jesus Christ is teaching us here, that sometimes he will send us to go. He will tell us to build a project. He will tell us to fulfill a mission.
Amen.
And we'll wonder, how do we know that God wants us to fulfill this mission? Because we don't feel him. We don't have money. We don't even have manpower. We don't have the resources. But listen to me, Brother James, I believe this is for you. That the vision of GMU and whatever God is calling you to do is bigger than what you have in your pocket.
Amen.
What God wants to fulfill in this ministry has nothing to do with what you are looking at. You'll be looking at the resources and manpower, and God says, I can do it with one.
Amen.
With one that says, yes, I can change the world.
Amen.
Talk to me, somebody. So I want to say to us, let us be encouraged that sometimes God will call us to embark on a journey and we'll find ourselves the wind contrary. I'm talking to you because many of us have been fooled to think walking with God, it meant a problemless journey. It's not a word, it's just a word right now, problemless. A problemless journey. So many of us, when we're walking with God, once there is a hiccup on the way, we want to back off because we think God is not in it.
No.
It's not incongruent with the scriptures because they were sent by Jesus himself. He is the one who said to them, get into the boat. You're with me? He is the one who said to them, we are going over to the other side. But what often happens? At the beginning of your life as you serve God, personally, all of us here, you have a personal vision and you've got a corporate vision. GMU has got a corporate vision, but in your life, you've got a personal vision that God has given you. When God gives you a personal vision, it doesn't change. His desire is always you're gonna go up to the finish because God is not involved in half finished jobs.
Amen.
You heard me?
Yes.
When God says, start. He's going to finish it.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what you meet along the way. Yes, the Bible says the wind was contrary on the way. I'm talking to somebody right now. Where you find yourself, you've journeyed to God, you fear God, you fasted, you give, you do all things right, you're honest before God, but it seems as if the wind is contrary. Your health is not going the way that you wanted. Your finances are under attack. Your family is under attack. Your daughter is under attack. Your son is under attack. What do you do when you know that you hate God, but it seems as if the wind is contrary? To you that is here today, listening to me, when the wind is contrary and it seems as if everything seems to be going against what you heard God from the beginning, I'm here to say to you, stick with the original word. The original word was, we are going over to the other side. So if God said you're going over to the other side and you're being frustrated because of the middle seems to be bringing wind and storming and you don't seem to be knowing what to do, hold on to the word that he gave you. Because the word that he gave you, it will come to pass.
Amen.
Be encouraged this afternoon because I believe God is at work in our lives. God is at work in our lives to fulfill his purposes. God is at work in our lives to fulfill the mission that has told us to do.
Yeah.
GMU, your vision, whatever that vision is, it must come to completion.
Amen.
Don't give up on the way.
Yeah.
Don't let it go on the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many people come into it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how many people leave the organization. Stick to the vision that God has given you. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Because when you walk with God, you will begin to learn powerful principles as you walk with him. That if I don't feel him at the beginning of the journey, I will meet him in my storm.
Amen.
There, in your wife, there. Where are you, my sister? They're looking at me funny. I wanted to read for me, my sister. What are you reading? Read for me, verse 26. Let's hear. Verse 25.
Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake.
Go ahead.
26. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear.
It's a normal phenomenon. It's a normal phenomenon that we all encounter. That when what we heard from the start go to the other side, there is a time of fading away. That voice of God seems to be fading away. And then the voice of fear shouts louder and louder. I know for sure, because the Bible says when they saw Jesus coming, they thought it was a ghost. And because they thought it was a ghost, I can understand why they think it's a ghost, because when you study the history to those that have been to Israel, yeah, you realize that Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, is very unpredictable. Yes. Galilee Sea can be calm in the morning, but don't believe what the weatherman tells you. Because by 10 o'clock, they have what they call lalaks. And these are unpredictable storms that could just wrap up from anywhere. When they started, it was calm. But on the way in the middle, the unpredictable took place. And I'm sure I'm not alone here. How many of you believe with me that coronavirus, let's face it, it was unpredictable. We did not know.
Yeah.
When the unpredictable takes place, but oh, when you know God. I don't mean when you know church. I mean when you know God.
Yeah.
Not when you know religion. When you know God.
Yeah.
Not when you know your pastor. I'm talking about when you know God. Am I talking to somebody? Not when you know about the sounds of Christianity. When you know God. They saw him coming to them. Which means, if I don't see him in my beginning, I should not give up. Because he will surprise me from the other side.
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
You don't see him now? Yes, I get it. You can't feel him. You feel nothing. You can't sense anything. But I'm here to say to you, in those times when it seems like your walking relationship with him is at zero, watch out. God of suddenlies,
yes,
he appeared.
Oh,
and here's the difference. He's walking on top of the water, which means he's walking on top of the stuff they're afraid of.
Yeah.
Right? Right. When you continue, as they continue to see him like a ghost and they're afraid, it says something, the next verse, and my sister was reading for me. What does it say, the next verse?
27, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid."
It is I, don't be afraid. The element that I say to you, when you learn the principle of praying before the miracle happens and the principle of praying after the miracle happens, it does two things for you. You will learn to know his voice.
Yeah.
When Jesus then says, "It is I, don't be afraid," Peter seems to be recognizing that voice. Peter seems to be recognizing that voice. Whilst everyone in the boat is afraid, but Peter seems to be recognizing that voice because you become what you spend time with.
Yep.
The principle of separation involves time alone with God. Not time alone to whinge and complain and meditate upon my problems. Time alone with God. Some of us, we know how to be alone, but our aloneness has a lot of problems with it. We worry more than we pray. But alone with God, it is designed for you to spend time with him. Learn his voice.
Yes.
Because in the world we're living in, it's not many voices that are talking to you. Either it's the voice of God, it is the voice of men, it is your own voice.
Yeah.
Spending time alone with God helps him. Jesus says, "It is I, don't be afraid." And let's finish it, my sister. What does it say? Next one.
Verse 28, Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water.
I love Peter. I've always loved Peter. I love Peter with his behavior. I love the fact that he was just a goer. Oftentimes I say, rather fall moving forward than sitting down. If I'm going to fail, I want to fail forward.
Amen. Fail forward, yeah?
If I'm going to make mistakes, I'd rather make mistakes while trying. All of us here, we know, we've learned how to walk. No baby was born up and then there was walking. All right? We know all babies trip, they fall. That's how God has designed it.
Yeah.
In your Christian walk, you are not a failure because you failed.
Yeah.
You become a failure because you failed to keep trying.
Right.
Talk to me.
Right.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
No one here that you should compare yourself in terms of your spirituality. Oh no, but I'm not as spiritual as you are. Says who?
Yeah.
What measurement are you using?
Yeah.
Because the truth is, we are all on the journey.
Yeah.
Some of us were here on this journey. Some of us were here on our journey. Some of us are here on our journey. So when I come to the house of God, I'm not here to come and compare myself with you.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
Somebody thought I'm on a journey. Yeah. And because you're on that journey, the Bible says, Peter says, if it is you, bid me come. Jesus says to him, come. I always love how God speaks, because oftentimes we expect a paragraph, you see, but he just says, come. And I love the fact that when Jesus said to Peter, come, Peter gets out of the boat. There you are. Verse 29, so he said, come. Somebody shout, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Because your preparedness to leave the boat will make you to be a Christian with a difference. What is faith? Faith is me risking my life to leave everyone aside and do it my way as he calls me. When he calls me, I will answer.
Amen.
I'm looking for people here today that are saying, I'm ready to do his will.
Amen.
I'm ready to do his will. I'm ready to go where he calls me.
Yeah.
Peter teaches us a powerful lesson. He called me. I'm going to get out and I'm going to go.
Amen.
Public opinion around him was talking. Who do you think you are? Hey, yeah. Oh, here we go again. It's Peter again. Oh, my goodness. Peter, where are you going? And I'm sure others are trying to pull him down. Because it's the world we're living in. Whenever you try to do what has never been done, expect opposition. You're with me?
Yeah.
The Bible says, he went, walked on the water. The enigma and the paradox for me there is, so it's Peter walking on the water, and it's Jesus walking on the water. But here's the difference. As they keep on walking on the water, somebody shifts focus. They were both walking on the water. Jesus is coming from there, walking on the water. Peter is coming from the boat, walking on the water. See that picture? Can you see the picture?
Yeah.
So both of them are walking on the water. Both of them, they are walking on top of the stuff that is making everyone else afraid. But then what is the lesson here that we are learning? That as long as you keep your focus on the right thing, you will walk on the water.
Yeah.
The moment you shift your focus, because the Bible says,
amen. The voice of Apostle Josh Moyo once again from Western Australia. This is Chimbikoti Ministries International Radio Network with our co-producer Kela Paget as we bring you the word of the living God, empowered for your destiny.
Produced by Kela Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.